Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many people do you know who will not be celebrating Christmas this year? I would guess that you maybe don't know very many, if perhaps you can even think of anyone at all who won't be celebrating Christmas at all in any way this year. But perhaps you can think of some because maybe you know of some Christian denominations, some Christian churches that say that it's wrong for Christians to celebrate Christmas. They say that because the Bible doesn't tell us that we should celebrate Christmas, and in fact, we don't actually know on what day of the year Jesus was born. December 25th was just chosen as the day for Christians to commemorate the birth of Jesus because a day had to be chosen and we didn't know the day. And of course, there are other religions, non-Christian religions, that don't believe that Jesus is true God and that he is the world's Savior. And so, of course, they don't celebrate Christmas, at least not in a religious sense. But of course, there are many people who don't believe in Jesus as their Savior who still do celebrate Christmas as a cultural holiday, since the vast majority of Americans celebrate Christmas in some way. As we look around us these days, these recent weeks, we see all the decorations and the lights and in stores and on houses. We see advertisements for sales and promotions at stores to celebrate the Christmas season. Some radio stations and probably most stores by now have been playing Christmas music nonstop and sometimes since already before Thanksgiving. So it's easy to see from all of these things happening in the world around us that Christmas truly is America's national holiday in so many ways. Now, as we Christians set aside these 4 weeks of the Advent season in preparation for Christmas, are we merely caught up in the mainstream of America's secular Christmas observance? Or is there something unique, something special about our Advent preparations? How do we avoid simply going through the motions because it's the thing to do, because everybody around us is getting in the Christmas spirit? And instead, actually discover the special joy that God intends for his people. Of course, in the Christmas season, we get a clear message from society around us. May your days be merry and bright, and 'tis the season to be jolly. The world does not have in mind the spiritual joy that is based on God's gift of his Son Jesus to us. Rather, with childlike glee, we are expected to gain happiness from whatever money enables us to buy and the pleasures and the joys of this season. Think about the fact that some retailers, stores, and shops expect to make as much money just in this month or the last couple of months before Christmas as they do the rest of the entire calendar year. Think about leading up to the Christmas season, the Black Friday sales and promotions that promise to offer greater joy and happiness than last year. And think about how in our cultural mindset, celebration is linked with consumption. And so we see liquor stores and grocery stores and restaurants that advertise promotions and then expect to make a great profit in this time leading up to Christmas. In the days before COVID, and perhaps still today, there would be lots of parties and other social gatherings planned. Maybe some of you still have some plans like that this year as well. Well, how do all of those cultural expectations affect us in the church? Do we allow the world to make demands on our time, on our money, our energy, our emotions, without questioning the value of what we receive in return? People are susceptible to many problems these days. Guilt about failures, loneliness, regret that the joys of the season that we experienced in the past might not be able to be relived today exactly the way we remember them before. Perhaps depression, because the present situation doesn't measure up to our expectations. Perhaps fear over what might happen in the future. These psychological and spiritual enemies are very real for so many people, especially around the time of Christmas. In addition, many people, even in the midst of so much material wealth and affluence and so much progress in the world around us, so many people still are hungry and not fully fed, are handicapped and not fully helped, or are suffering injustice and are not fully cared for by people in our society. And what's also saddening to us members of the church is that so many of our fellow Americans have not found joy in the church. The polling organization Gallup reports that only 47% of Americans say that they are members of a church. And 21% of Americans don't consider themselves to be religious at all. Now, those numbers represent a drastic shift over previous decades when a vastly larger number of people did identify themselves as members of a Christian church and as being religious themselves. Sadly, in recent decades, more and more people have not been finding joy in the message of the birth of the Savior Jesus at Christmas time. It's very easy for us to fall in love with the world and the things of the world. If we prepare for Christmas on the world's terms, eventually we will experience weariness and disappointment as our expectations don't measure up to what we actually experience. The world's understanding of joy in material things finally leads to cynicism, to just a general negative attitude about the world around us and about people around us. Because the world and material things give no real satisfying answer to our conscience that accuses us, to our obligations that we have to fulfill every day as we go about our jobs, our work, and our other responsibilities. The world has no real answer to our unfulfilled desires and to our eventual death. Because the world secularizes all of life. It tries to get us only to focus on material things, worldly things, physical things, and not on spiritual things, including at the time of Christmas. We, believers in Jesus, need to be different in our attitudes and in our actions, so that same cynicism, discouragement, and fear that so many people in the world around us experience does not overwhelm us also. God offers something different to his people. And so in our sermon text today from Zephaniah chapter 3, we see God telling of a festival that is full of true and lasting joy because of what God does for us, because of what God gives to us. We can rejoice because of the Savior who has come into the world. The prophet Zephaniah lived in the 7th century BC, 600 some years before the birth of Jesus. And although his time was thousands of years before our present time, as we see descriptions, if you read not just these verses, but also the whole book of Zephaniah, you see that the people at his time were very much, in many ways, like the people of our time today. That his world also, his society, was filled with power, with affluence, and with change. And Zephaniah himself may have had firsthand experience with some of the political power plays of government, with financial dealings in the marketplace, with strife among different social groups, and with the religious practices of the church, of believers of his day. However, he laments that so many people of his day, even among God's chosen people who knew God's promises of the Savior, So many people did not seek the Lord or inquire of him and his will. Zephaniah witnessed the cruelty of earthly rulers. He witnessed the dishonesty of merchants who tried to cheat their customers. He witnessed the violence between people and society, the complacency of the wealthy who did not care for the needy, the hypocrisy of the priests, the religious leaders of God's people, who didn't always truly care about the spiritual needs of the people. And he witnessed the people themselves doing all kinds of practices that God had forbidden, following the sinful ways of the unbelieving peoples who lived around them. So Zephaniah, at the beginning of chapter 3, writes about Jerusalem and about the people who live in Jerusalem. She, referring to Jerusalem and its people, she obeys no one. She accepts no correction. And Zephaniah sees, as God revealed to him, the great day of God's coming judgment, that it was near and that it was rapidly approaching. And so Zephaniah John the Baptist, we see echoing in his ministry what Zephaniah also prophesied about the last day and God's judgment coming on the world. Zephaniah writes, as God warns, "I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth." And in our gospel reading today, we see John the Baptist echoing that warning of God's impending judgment. In Luke chapter 3, John says, "Even now the axe is ready to strike the root of the trees. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire." Zephaniah believed, as God revealed to him, that the world could not bring true and lasting joy, and that proud and arrogant people, people who turn their backs on God and his will and his promised Savior, would eventually fall and come to ruin. And so Zephaniah cast his lot with those whom the world looked down on as poor and lowly and foolish in the sight of its wisdom. But Zephaniah knew by God's revealed will to him that those people, those humble believers in God's promises, they would eventually triumph on the last day because their trust was in God and in the Savior he promised. Such people have every reason to rejoice. Some of us might today be questioning whether we actually want to be different from the world around us. But Zephaniah speaks a clear warning that our world will indeed perish. And he offers to us a clear invitation to seek the coming Lord in humility. And John the Baptist also, in the same way, urges us to put aside pride and all injustice and dishonesty and all idolatry, anything that we might be tempted to put as a higher priority or a deeper love, something we trust more in our hearts and in our lives than God himself. And instead, to devote ourselves wholeheartedly to God and to look forward in confident faith to the day of the return of our Savior. Zephaniah calls on us, together with the people of his time, to confess our sins, to humble ourselves, and to look to God for his forgiveness, to abandon our cynicism, our negative attitude about the people and the world around us, to give up our discouragement and our depression, to give up our fear and our worry, to turn it all over to him, to trust in him and his blessing and care. These enemies, these spiritual enemies that attack our faith in God and his promises of blessing, do not need to overwhelm us any longer. As we seek for God and as we trust in God, Zephaniah tells us that we can sing out, we can shout aloud, we can be glad and rejoice with all our heart. And he gives us several reasons why we can do just that. In verse 15, he says, "The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned back your enemy." Yes, our sins against God and His will and His commandments are very real, and so is God's threat of judgment, of punishment against those sins. We can't ignore our repeated offenses against God and against each other, our misspent years of going in a way directly opposite to God's will. We can't ignore our own mortality because of our sins. But incredibly, God has a way of judging both what we have done, our sinful actions and words and thoughts, but at the same time also removing His hand of judgment and punishment from us. He has a plan that, as Zephaniah announces to us, that at the same time deals with our sinfulness and the consequences of our sin, and also delivers us from the consequences of our sins. Verse 15, he continues, "Israel's King, the Lord, is in your midst." And here, God is revealing to us a hint about how He will bring that plan of salvation to fulfillment. That God Himself will arrive to live among His people. That God Himself, the Son of God, was willing to leave the glory and majesty of His heavenly throne to dwell in humble circumstances here on earth among His creation. To be born of a woman. To live as our brother in the flesh. This is the great and wonderful joy over which the angels will sing on Christmas night. The prophet Zephaniah has foreseen this wonderful joy, that this salvation is coming for all of God's people. This is the cause that Zephaniah points to for the great celebration, the great excitement in heaven for our Advent preparations. That God Himself wants to come and live among us in order to save us. Verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you as a hero who will save you." God's plan of salvation is centered in that hero, the Savior. And so we don't mind being numbered with the poor and lowly that Zephaniah sees in the society of his day, because that is how Jesus Himself, the Son of God Himself, first appeared to the world also, among the poorest and lowliest, born in a barn where animals live, because His parents could not find a place in more appropriate circumstances for their child to be born. But He became a mighty Savior, giving Himself into death on the cross, taking the full blow of God's judgment and punishment for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And He rose again from the dead on the third day in a triumphant victory over death. And He gives that victory to us as well through faith in Him. His love conquers all our fears, all of our sins, all of our discouragement. We are new people, a new creation through faith in Him. We are lifted up, we are exalted through Him. In verse 16, Zephaniah says, "Do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not give up." And in verse 14, he says, "Sing out, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart." True and lasting joy is possible because it comes from God, our loving Heavenly Father, through Jesus, our Savior. Focus on that joy, the joy of your Savior who has paid for all of your sins this Advent season. Receive the blessings of His love and enjoy it to the fullest. And so here again now, with that good news of God's love through the Savior Jesus in mind, hear again now the words of the Apostle Paul in our second lesson from Philippians chapter 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.